Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I'm with my kid, and I go, hey, that's Al Michaels.
Did you say, do you believe in miracles?
Well, so what I do is I go up and I go, hey, Al, don't want to bother you, but my name's Greg Garcia. I used to work on the Tony Kornheiser Show, and way back when, it was my father's birthday, and we had you on as a guest, and you wished my father a happy birthday. He goes, really? I go, yeah, you know, you did this thing, and he kind of looked at me, he goes, politely goes, yeah, okay, sure, you know, yeah. And I got about 10 feet away, and I thought, oh, my God. I turned back and go, hey, you know what? It was Marv Albert. I'm sorry.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Greg Garcia is actually funny. We try to be funny. We're not as funny as Greg Garcia. We are here with Gary Braun and Chris Saliza, Michael Kornheiser. Nigel is here. I am here. We are live at Chatter. This is Monday. We're live at Chatter. Yeah. We only have two people in for breakfast, which leads me to conclude I've done something wrong on Wednesday by not when we had 100 people when I should have said, and we'll be back on Monday.
Right.
And we are serving breakfast at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest inside the
line. Now, what is that, like a 501c3 Chatter? Or is that a for-profit?
We are a full-service, for-profit, newly cleaned.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Newly renovated.
Clean it about once every 6 months.
Newly cleaned and newly renovated.
It is magnificent.
I'm trying to make renovated into like...
Renovate.
Like the remnant. The remnant or whatever that thing is.
Fixer-upper.
So also, now I have to... we have a friend here from the United States Embassy in Baghdad. Mm.
How about that?
Who has a duck.
It's one of the best gifts we've ever received.
It is quite nice.
The duck says on the back, United States Embassy, Iraq, and on the front, duck and cover. And if you squeeze it, this is what happens.
Listen.
Duck and cover.
I mean, nailed
get
it.
Get away from the windows. Take cover.
Should we?
Wait further instructions.
I think I'm going to squeze that every time we see Leaf Blower, man.
That is a great kid's toy.
And he wants me to shout out to his pal, Mike Lombardo.
It's funny. If anyone was here, they would have laughed. But.
Can I do this?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mike Lombardo, because you know where the guy's listening? In Swaziland. So if you talk over
that's a made-up place.
If you talk over it, it doesn't work. He's a charge d'affaires at the United States Embassy in Swaziland.
Isn't Swaziland one of the three countries entirely landlocked by a single other country? I think it is. Vatican City, San Marino, and Swaziland. It's either that
so or it's in the middle of something larger.
It's in the middle of another country.
It's in the middle of another country. It's either that or Lesotho.
Okay, which country is it in the middle of?
Is it Lesotho? It's Lesotho. So it's not Swaziland.
You got that wrong.
Well, I mean, I got two out of three.
If I do talk over you today, let's be honest, it's a tree falling in the forest. I mean, no one's going to hear it. There's nobody here.
I've been cursing up a blue street.
So I get this thing that looks like a postcard, a very, very big postcard. It says, Dear Mr. Tony, Nigel, Gary, Chris, Howard, Tori, David, Liz, Jeannie, Leon, and Michael, Merry Christmas from a galaxy far, far away and from Sam Sorveen, it looks like, of Nashville. And it says, please tell Michael my dog loves leaves. Hmm. And I get this and I sort of wonder, well, why did I get this? And then it is pointed out to me, if you turn it over, it's a poster. It's a poster from Star Wars Episode II, The Attack of the Clones. And I have to say, I don't care.
Yeah, it's still sort of puzzling.
Is that the one where Darth Vader
dies?
I don't know. Are we going to put this up?
I don't know.
Are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah, we're going to put it up.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
I thought it was Attack of the Clowns, but it's Attack of the Clones.
It's a different movie.
I don't know.
Huh, I would have never pegged you
but
as
you know
a huge
what's
Star
much
Wars.
Better than that?
Yeah, wait for
Duck
it.
Duck and cover.
Attention.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows.
Yeah.
Take cover and await further instructions.
That's like
it's much better.
Opposite of Beatle. Go
yes,
to the window.
Window.
This is get away from
it's
the
great.
Window.
We're in a pavilion right now that's covered on three sides by windows.
A lot
windows.
Of windows.
It's true.
Yeah.
By the way,
would
it's a peninsula.
That, would that have
peninsula.
Helped you out during the Cold War? You know, in the Cuban Missile Crisis?
No. Mm-hmm.
Duck and cover? Was that?
No, I was very young during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we were taught to just get under our desks in school.
Oh, well, that would be
in
fine.
In case the bomb dropped.
As
if the desk would somehow
that's right,
save
no
us.
Problem.
The desk would save
we
us.
We had one of those huge air raid horns. This is Farmland Elementary, circa 1976 to 80 or so. And we had one of those huge horns at the top of like a huge telephone pole. And it would go off once a month. And you'd get under your desk.
What you did. You got under your desk.
But I'm not that old.
But if you've seen the footage of the bombs that were dropped
probably
in Japan,
the desk not going to help you.
The desk's not going to help you.
The desk is not going to help you.
It's not going to help you. The desk? Yeah. Right. Made of wood. Yeah. Boom, incinerated. What are you talking about?
I was watching Bridge of Spies when they had that.
Good movie.
It's a great movie, and they had that film that they showed the kids, and it's like, you can be like our friend the turtle. Just duck and cover, and that should take care of you.
All right, we'll start with the NFL. The cream rises. Now, we're getting to that point in the season where the better teams emerge as the better teams. New England easily wins. Tom Brady, by the way, everybody wants to make Carson Wentz the MVP of the league because Carson Wentz has 28 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. Hmm? Tom Brady has 26 and 3.
Well,
Tom Brady is not just the best. I know I say that Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player because Aaron Rodgers has a component of running that Tom Brady doesn't have. But Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. He is. He's the
there
best.
Was a I don't stat, think they mentioned a stat yesterday that since his return from the suspension for Deflategate, he has something like 50-5.
That's just, yeah.
50, I think that's right, because I think he had 2 interceptions last year. So
New England wins easily. Pittsburgh, because of Ben Roethlisberger throwing to Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh wins on a last-second field goal. Pittsburgh is scary.
They'll keep you in a game, won't they?
Because Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger can score from anywhere, and the Patriots don't have Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. They don't have that.
That's right.
They don't have that.
They don't have weapons like that.
Pittsburgh is scary. Philadelphia wins laughingly. Chuck Todd. I know it was 13.5, and Chuck Todd won.
He won.
He's
4-3.
Jeff Ma crushed. 0-4, and Reginald 1-2. Reginald's still above 500, and Chuck Todd trying to climb the ladder.
He'd give back his 4-3 for a hurricane win.
The third
that had to be.
Oh, that's a dagger.
That was great.
Yeah, I guess we'll do college later. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll do that at some point. So the
you didn't like that when he picked it though.
No, because the Bears really are terrible.
Yes,
they really are terrible. And the Philadelphia's at home.
They were up. The Eagle that game was over in the first quarter.
So the Philadelphia wins laughingly, and over the course of the week, the Rams and Minnesota win convincingly. They win convincingly. The Rams
good
were
win.
Terrible last year.
Awful.
I think they won 3 games last year.
Well, yeah. Goff was
they
0-7.
They fired a coach.
I remember that.
Well, Goff was seen, to Gary's point, Goff was seen as an absolute
failure.
Bust.
Bust.
Jamarcus
failure.
Russell.
Failure.
Bust. Yeah.
They're really good. They're really good. Some teams show a bit of spark. Carolina, losing to the Jets late in that game, gets 2 weird touchdowns. 2 return touchdown and a defensive touchdown. They show life. They're 8-3, and they're sneaking up on you. Atlanta shows life. They're 7-4 after a bad start. Seattle shows life. And by the way, and I know this is not going to happen because the MVP of the league is Tom Brady.
The league.
But Russell Wilson's great.
Yep.
Russell Wilson, he doesn't – you know what you have to conclude? He doesn't have anybody on his
Who's
team.
Who's the running back?
Well, no one blocking for him
no,
either.
Because
Lou
he,
Rawls
he
is the running
the
back.
Leading, he's the leading runner. And he doesn't want to run.
Right.
I mean.
And he's a really good passer.
They got Doug Baldwin is the only guy that you would, like, I always go by fantasy sports. Like, would you want any of those guys other than Russell Wilson?
No.
I mean, the running backs are literally, it's that guy, what's
McKissick,
his name? Thomas Rawls.
Eddie
McKissick,
Lacy. Fat Eddie Lacy.
Fat Eddie Lacy. I mean, they have nothing.
No, they stink.
And they got some guy named, is Paul Richardson a
yes.
Yeah. I mean, but they don't have anything.
I don't know who that is.
Did you see Julio Jones's numbers? 12 for 253.
He does that once a year.
It's pretty good.
He's good. Some teams are in trouble. Jacksonville.
Oh, it's
Blake Bortles scrambled a few times and was good, but you can't have him throw the ball. You cannot have him throw the ball. It's no good.
He's not good at
football. So Jacksonville is not nearly as good.
No, he was without his 2 top receivers. I mean, Allen Robinson, who got hurt and has been out all year, and also Allen Hearns, so maybe 2 of the top 3, you might say.
But they just run anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they
– But a lot of teams
– And their coach – Marone made a terrible call very late in the game, threw the ball twice. They were backed
up.
He
should have been working.
He should have been
clock.
Run the clock.
And that enabled what was the team that beat them?
Jacksonville?
Yeah, they lost.
Arizona.
Come on,
Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona, a bad team, enabled Arizona through Blaine Gabbert, of all people, to
Revenge
win that
bowl
game.
For Gabbert.
Yeah, and Kansas City.
What happened to them?
They were 5-0.
They've lost.
Alex
they don't
Smith
score any
happens.
Points.
Yeah, Alex Smith became.
Wilbon loves Alex Smith.
He was what we thought he was.
Wilbon
which
loves
is not
him.
Good.
So, and all of this is fine, and we can talk about stuff. But
Got
the
stuff?
Thing that has to be talked about most in the NFL, I got home yesterday. I drove back from the beach. I got home around 9:30 or something like that, and I went out to play golf. And I scheduled golf so that I could be done by 3, so that I could catch up on all of the early games in that window between.
You like that last hour. You're 3:45
to 4:15, and then I can watch the late games, and I settle in. Then
yeah, because late game was Rams Saints, which is a good one.
Yeah.
Well, one of the late games was Oakland. The Raiders were playing against the Broncos, and that has no particular sex appeal. But
the fight.
Did you see this?
Unbelievable.
Michael Crabtree, apparently this is an incident over last year. Aqib Talib, they got in a dust-up, and Aqib Talib ripped a gold chain off Michael Crabtree's neck and held it aloft like a snake. All right? This is last year, is it not?
Yes.
Yes.
Michael Crabtree, he is the absolute instigator in this yesterday. He is the total antagonist.
Oh, he just went after him.
He went after him, knocked him on the sidelines, knocked him to the ground, but was just trying. It would have, if he was a lion, he would have dragged him through the village if he could have done that.
Well, you saw that Talib tore his chain again, right? Or did you miss that?
Yes, he ripped his chain off again. Second time.
Prior to that play?
Yes. No.
No.
During the beginning of that play.
During that scuffle.
That was what caused Crabtree to go nuts.
Oh, so am I wrong?
They missed this on TV. Oh, well, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Is Talib the antagonist?
Well, Crabtree went after him blocking. Crabtree went after him.
Let me say, five seconds.
He didn't go after him blocking, Chris. He pushed him out of bounds and kept winning for 20 minutes.
Before they went out of bounds. Okay, so it was a run play running away from the side that Crabtree
Nowhere
was on.
Nowhere near him.
Crabtree came blocking very aggressively.
You think?
Legally, but blocking very aggressively.
How about when they're 20 feet out of bounds?
That is after, once he's being blocked aggressively, Talib goes in, grabs his chain again, rips it off his neck.
Yep.
And then Crabtree throws him. Then the thing descends into what it descended into. So... The team doing who was doing that game? I forget. It was some CBS crew really missed that in live action. I mean, it wasn't until like 10 minutes later that they went back and said, oh, look, you can see he ripped the chain again.
Okay, so it's the second time.
Now, they were both throwing punches. I mean, they should be suspended for that.
There is no question that they should be suspended and not just fined. And both sides, everybody on both sides said, well, we can't have this.
Right.
We can't lose our best players. We can't have this.
Oakland also lost their starting guard. Starting right guard.
Pushed an official.
Yeah.
But if you noticed, Jack Del Rio did not single out Talib, and Vance Joseph did not single out Crabtree. They both said, we just can't have this.
Right, that's right.
This is, you know, you're grown men at this point. And by the way, you're both great players. Now, I don't know that it hurt one team more than the other, because both.
The Raiders won.
The Raiders were going to win anyway.
But the Broncos stink, and their quarterback was weeping on the sideline.
Paxton Lynch looked good.
Trevor Simeon.
Terrible.
The other thing we'll never get to, I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan's brilliant. What are you waiting for
on Jimmy Garoppolo?
Exactly. Well, they put him in.
Two passes, one touchdown.
Put him in.
What are you waiting for? What are you trying to finesse here this season?
Well, if you're convinced he can play, it's going to make it harder to justify going to get Kirk Cousins if you're Kyle Shanahan. So maybe that's what you're waiting
for. Well, C.J. Beathard got hurt, and this kid came in and looked like a pro because he's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a pro. So, anyway.
By the way, Tony, the one thing about that fight, so... It starts
multiple
at midfield on the sideline. It ends
multiple.
Up.
Multiple.
Luxury suite.
Two.
Oh, multiple. One each. Two games.
I would say two each.
So
it's crazy behavior.
They end up in the far end zone, 50 yards downfield, and Crabtree swinging wildly at the head of a helmeted.
Yeah, who does that?
Aqib Talib.
Well, trying to get through the face.
Right, but after he did that, he just takes a swing where if he had connected,
he breaks his hand. Yep. He was
He was hot.
Out oh his mind. At that point.
I think that's a good fair description.
And by the way, at least two photographers got knocked down, stepped on.
Well, one of the refs goes down clutching his, Kevin Harlan said, his ribs. I thought he was grabbing his heart. I thought like, oh my God, this guy's having a heart attack.
All right, let's get out of here. We will, we'll talk to Michael Wilbon. Where's Wilbon? Wilbon's in Chicago.
That's right.
Trying to come home, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, this is the Omaha Steaks read. And later on in the show, I will talk about the fact that I went to Black Friday, had a disastrous Black Friday experience on early Friday morning, late Thursday night.
No. Any docksiders picked up? Any
Not Doc Siders, yes. The traditional. Do you want to do the episode now, or should I just continue with the ad?
It was just such an
so this is
such an engrossing tease.
This is Omaha Steaks. Okay, this is Omaha Steaks. This is a good gift. This is something. It says, you know, thought starters, struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all. It's not even a question of having it all. This is actually a good gift. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get a family gift pack. When you go to omahasteaks.com, you enter the code TonyK, you get 75% off. You get this is supposedly, I got to do the mandatory things afterwards. Here, let me just tell you what you get. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and you get 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings. It says just to my listeners. It's anybody who's advertising this on the airwaves, but on this show, it's just to my listeners. Listen to everything you get for less than $50. Well, I did it again. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code TonyK in the search bar, get a 75% savings. It is the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Dan Stalalonis in Skokie, Illinois, right near Evanston, Illinois, right near Chicago, Illinois, where Wilbon is now. And he writes, I'm a 37-year-old non-millennial little. I started listening to your show since the switch to the podcast. I was compelled to do so by your appearance on a Bill Simmons podcast. Haven't missed a show since. Please send him a box or something. Like many other new listeners, I now find myself inextricably interested in the Washington, D.C. sports, despite living in the Chicago area for the past 14 years and growing up in the Boston area. My jingle submission is a recently recorded holiday song from my band, The Dirty Rocks. The song is called A Very Dirty Christmas. It's more a play on our name than being a true description of the events contained in the song. We're a Chicago-based blues rock band that has been popular with the dads of people my age who come to see our shows. I'm not a big, but I've been recognized off stage, and the moment was more memorable because I was told, hey, we know you. We gave your CD to my dad. He loved it. So that's great. Michael Wilbon is on his way back from a weekend in Chicago. And let's start with the good news, which is Northwestern wins again. You knew that they would beat Illinois. Is Lovie Smith, did he win any games? Did he win any?
No, Tony, they went winless. They were winless in the Big Ten. And he made a decision, and I hope this does not backfire immediately on him. You would think when you make this kind of decision that you have the support of your administration, but not to mention some high school coaches around here. Lovie decided to just recruit and play freshman all year.
Oh,
and so
okay.
in every category in which you can sort of, surmise contribution, you know, Lovie started more freshmen than anybody in the country. He played more freshmen than anybody in the country. The guys who took more snaps, more freshmen took snaps at Illinois than any school in America, seriously. And FBS, I guess they qualify that.
D1.
So they were terrible and 0-0, winless in the Big Ten. And we knew that had to be just sort of a coronation. I think it was 42-7. The bad part is that Illinois went down the field and scored in the first possession. I was nuts already. So that was the end of that. 7 straight wins. 7 straight and counting.
Haven't you scored about 30-plus in the last 3 or 4?
Yeah, we crushing people. I mean, we had a better game against Minnesota than Wisconsin did.
So where are you going? Did you pick a bowl game yet?
Tony, it all depends on whether whether Wisconsin wins or not.
Oh.
You know, if Wisconsin wins, I mean, we're very hopeful to be out west, specifically the Holiday Bowl or the Foster Farms, which is in the 49ers' new stadium. And that's where a lot of alums. But, you know, look, our alums are all over the place, and I'm sure the people in the East would rather be in Florida. And if Ohio State wins that Big Ten championship game next week, we're going to get nudged out of that California comfort zone, and we're probably going to be in Florida. So,
okay,
that game will determine where we go, and we don't know yet.
All right, so I go from the sublime to the not-so-sublime. The Chicago Bears get killed in Philadelphia, and Mitchell Trubisky, who you have advocated for so strenuously, including say, let's make this trade and trade all our draft picks away for the next 10 years. Mitch Trubisky, on 33 attempts, gained 147 yards in the air.
Yeah.
That's dreadful.
People are tripping over themselves here, and as I head to O'Hare, let's just say, Tony, you better hope I just make it back today. Turkey Day return from one of the world's busiest airports is not fun.
No, I know.
So anyway, I'm fleeing town as I will trip over people who trip over themselves to tell you what great promise he has. And here's the problem. Here's a problem I have. And I, in my text chain, as I text with Tommy Waddle and Mark Silverman, better known as Sylvie, here in Chicago at ESPN 1000, this is a regular Sunday thing for us. I just say to them, what promise? He can't run. I know he had a great fourth down run last week, fourth and 15.
He did.
And you're just looking at people who should have tackled him saying, what is that? He can't break containment. He can't even get past the line of scrimmage. He's not a great athlete. He's a good athlete, and here's what he can do. He can throw on the run pretty accurately. But, Tony, I think if he started five games, maybe he started six now by now, I don't know. But at least in four of those games, Tony, four out of five, he's failed to complete 50% of his passes in a league where routinely somebody in a given week completes 70%. He routinely can't complete 50. And I'm like, what promise? So he can't throw and he can't run. What promise? And you have all these dopes. I got to pick up the paper and turn on the radio and not even turn on the web, turn on radio to some degree. And everything I pick up and I read says, oh, he's got such great promise. Really? Where is it?
Well, the best thing...
He's not having games like Deshaun Watson had before Deshaun Watson got hurt.
Here's what you can hope for.
Throwing to different guys.
You can hope for this one thing. You can hope that he's... will develop like Jared Goff, who was every bit as terrible last year.
Yeah, that means a new coach.
And the way you may get a new coach
now at 3-8.
You may get one.
New coach is fine.
Yeah, that'd be fine. All right, let me get to what I think was the single biggest thing that happened over the weekend for me.
Alabama,
100%. Well, it's look. Here's what I've written down for you. Auburn suffocates Alabama and the overrated Jalen Hurts. What did you think of that game? You disagree with any of that?
Just what you said.
Yeah.
I mean, the SEC still wants to play 1952 football. They'll concede to play it with some people who are a little browner than they played in 1952. But that's the only concession. You know, if they could still fly the Confederate flag at every game and run 4 yards behind somebody named Billy Bob, that's what they would do.
Well, let me interrupt for one thing.
That's how Alabama still plays, Tony. They still play that way.
But here's what I noticed. Alabama's running plays. Now, Alabama has had great running backs in the past. Mark Ingram went to Alabama, didn't he? And Derrick Henry went to Alabama.
Sure.
These guys were great. Their running plays take forever to develop. The running back stands there. What are they playing?
They're not. I just told you, 1952 football.
they've
replaced Bart Starr with Jalen Hurts.
It's so slow. I didn't understand.
Let me tell you something. If people think that is so glamorous that they have to have two of those teams in the, what are you talking about? Auburn's quarterback is better. He's a good quarterback, said to be the best in the conference. I don't know that he's great. I texted our dear friend Charles Barkley.
Who had a statue unveiled.
How about Charles Barkley? That?
Yes.
I'm gonna fly and take a picture in front of the Charles statue.
Our friend Tim Davis left me a note saying that he was going down for the game because he played on the team. 30 years
ago. If I had known that they were going to unveil that. Because I've been promising Matthew to take him to a real football game, meaning essentially an SEC game, a game where an entire town or state stops. Which ain't the case, for the, the Illinois, whatever that thing is. What's that trophy? We got some Tomahawk trophy. I don't know what you got. But whatever it is, it ain't like going to Alabama on the day after Thanksgiving. And I've been promising to take Matthew. If I had known that Charles was going to have a statue unveiled, I would have literally gone. But, Tony, Alabama, don't tell me the two teams from the SEC have to be in.
Well, this is what I want to ask you. And this is, I'm going to make this as legitimate as possible. You cannot deny, if Auburn beats Georgia again, they're in. They would have beaten two number one teams.
They're going to get in.
Even with two losses.
They would have lost two games.
So now you have a precedent-setting thing where you have two losses. And by the way, and if Wisconsin loses, they're out. They have to win.
They have to beat Ohio State.
They
have to win, sure.
Right.
Yes, they do.
But then
you
assume that winner of Clemson-Miami is in. That winner is in. You assume that Oklahoma, if they win, they're in. Alabama's.
Is that TCU?
That they're playing. They play TCU. What?
So suppose they lose to TCU. Look, once again.
Then they're both out. Again, then they're both out.
You're doing this thing where everybody's going to win. Well, as I told you 6 weeks ago, Notre Dame is going to lose at least twice.
And
they
did.
Tell me how many times Notre Dame lost.
They did. They lost twice. But Miami just lost too, but badly. Badly.
And they lost. I told you, all these teams are going to lose. None of these teams are going to run the table. One team is undefeated in the country right now. Tell me who they are.
They're Wisconsin. And they have to win to get in and UCF, okay, but they're not getting in.
They've won everything
That's
else.
Right. That's right. Well, if they win, they're in.
They're going to beat Ohio State, except we don't know what the status of the quarterback is. And I do like Wisconsin's defense against the guy who's making his first start, even though he looked great in relief on Saturday. But, Tony, the Alabama loss is great because I don't root for Alabama at all.
Well,
ever,
I'm happy.
Ever.
It's good for America when Nick Saban loses because he's not a good guy.
I'm always happy when Saban loses.
But let's get to this.
A school that produced Charles Barkley beats a school that is run by Nick Saban.
And that's fine. But Alabama's season is over. That's it. They're not in the championship game. Now, Alabama has one loss and a loss to a team that we think at the moment may be the best team in the country. They may be. And if they beat Georgia, we're going to think that. So does Alabama backdoor its way in your mind?
If Auburn wins or loses. Suppose Auburn loses to Georgia.
Then Georgia's in. Auburn's not in.
I will bet you right now Georgia beats Auburn. And I'm rooting for Auburn.
So you think then Georgia's in? That's three losses for
Georgia.
Auburn, and they're not in. But does Alabama get in?
I hope not. I hope at that point it's Georgia. With that scenario, Georgia, Wisconsin, either Clemson or Miami in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I think Oklahoma's going to lose.
You do? You think everybody's going to lose?
Well, who's been right so far?
Well, you've
been
right.
Think everybody's going to win?
Are you?
Notre Dame holds its own destiny in its hands.
Well, they did, and they lost. And
but why do people presume these teams are all going to win out? Why do they do that?
I think you do that for the sake of argument. I don't think it's a presumption they're going to do it. I think you do it for the sake of argument.
I think people believe that garbage. I think people believed that Notre Dame was going to somehow win and be the new Rockne and all. And it's not stop.
I did think Alabama was going to win until I actually watched them.
I thought they'd lose one game either. This game or the ACC.
People go on and on about Jalen Hurts. They go, he's Mr.
Why?
Clutch. He can't pass. Yeah. He's not.
Tony, they don't have a modern passing game, which somebody's going to talk about on TV today. They won't talk about that on a lot of these outlets.
Well, it's not just going to be someone because I'm sitting there and I'm counting the five before the running back actually decides he's going to run.
Here's what they have. They have great linemen on both sides. They do.
They do.
They do certain things well. They have great linebackers. They have people who clearly are, by the time those kids get to the NFL and play on Sunday, they are developed. They have studied. They are prepared, man. They know what they're doing. But their skill position players, I don't want any of them. None.
It's amazing.
None of them.
Let me get to one thing in the NFL. I'm not even going to deal with the NFL except for this one thing. Because now, when you watch the Red Zone, you are watching a lot of football, a lot of different games. Are you getting on an airplane?
Checking in.
Okay.
It's still fairly soon. I'm good.
Okay.
The good news is you have to call Pablo in from the bullpen today.
Mike, there are too many pass interference calls.
There are. They're awful.
Too many. And the offense initiates the action most of the time, and they rarely get called.
There are too many personal foul calls. Guys aren't doing anything, making a hard tackle. Tony,
that Buffalo game.
The Buffalo game. Oh, my God. Tony, the NFL games are awful to watch. Except last night, there was a great game. The Steelers and Packers last night was a great game. And let me just say this. For somebody my age, it's hard to put a receiver wearing black and gold in the same sentence as Swan and Stallworth.
He's good. Antonio Brown's good.
Tony, Antonio Brown
he's
is
good.
Worthy. Now, look, one thing he didn't have to ever do was get away from Raiders who had basically weapons at the line of scrimmage.
You could do a lot more back in the day.
Antonio Brown, right. They didn't have to. Antonio Brown didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But once he's away from the line of scrimmage,
he's
as good as Swan and Stallworth. Mm. He's impossible. And his hands and feet and balance, and it's balletic. It's so beautiful.
He's great.
That game was great. But Tony, I've been telling you this since the end of last year, and every year, every week, I know it's, you know, beating a dead horse. I'm going to beat it again. Tony, the NFL games are awful. The
horse
product
is dead.
Awful.
You don't.
It's awful.
Aren't you relieved that you won't have to see Nathan Peterman again? That's over.
Mr. Peterman.
How about that guy?
That's over.
Let me tell you something.
That's over.
I want Buffalo to miss the playoffs by one game.
So you can fire the coach.
No, I can fire so I can trash him. Let him stay employed. I just want to trash him. There's so many unbelievably stupid decisions that are made game by game by game that you just wonder, like what motivates, like what pressures have changed on NFL coaches? Because these guys are smart. They are studied. They are prepared. They have wonderful resumes. What pressures, outside pressures, which they will never admit to, and Bill Belichick's about the only one who doesn't have outside pressures, what pressures operate on them to be as to make as dumb a decisions as they routinely make?
Well,
I'm talking Pete Carroll. I'm talking, I mean.
Wilbon, how about last night, Mike McCarthy, who I like to refer to as Jay Gruden with wins, attempting a 57-yarder in a windy stadium where no one's ever made one above 53. And then he gives in a tie game. Gives the Steelers the ball midfield. They go right down the field.
And what are you doing? The decisions made by guys who really you look at and say, these guys, you know, measure up. No, they don't. They measure up, relatively speaking, in today's football. If you compare them to previous generations of coaches, you don't have to go back to Hallis and Gurley Lambeau. You can go back to Gibbs and Johnson and Parcells. You can go back one generation. Go back to 1990 and look at the coaches and look at their game after game after game indecision decision-making and look at the halftime adjustments. Look at the stuff they did and look at the stuff the guys do now. And you know what, Tony? So whether it's that, whether it's officiating, whether it's players doing unbelievably stupid things, you look at this stuff and you go, what is happening to pro football? It's devolving to the point where you can't even compare it favorably to 8 years ago. And again, last night, thank God there was an exception. That game was really good last night, but as G points out, What is McCarthy? Did he think he was in a dome? Did he think he was like at an altitude in Denver? He's going to send somebody up to kick the 7-yard field goal? And that handed Pittsburgh field position and an easy score to win the game.
All right, I will see you later, I think, right? Are you telling me you can't get out of Chicago?
I'm within sight of O'Hare. Okay. I got an hour and 15. I think you're in good shape.
Fabulous.
I should be, I should be back here. So. Is there what's the John Wall situation? Give me a quick update.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, he didn't play. He didn't play against Trevor.
For a couple of weeks.
So what? It's November.
He's got a knee injury.
It's November. No, we're not talking about that.
Hey, Mike.
No.
Mike, we have Otto Porter.
Well, he's going to go 9-22.
I don't care about that. I'll see you later. Michael right, Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll come back. John Wall situation.
NFL dead. John Wall knee.
No, we're not.
Leading PTI.
Yeah. We'll talk about Prince Harry ahead of that.
Soccer over the weekend.
News when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Indochino ad. In case you're looking for a suit I guess if you're looking for a suit for the holidays, you're a little late. You should have done this earlier.
Upcoming holidays.
Which holidays?
Well, there's like Christmas and Hanukkah, aren't those coming up?
Yeah, but I think it takes a couple, at least 3 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe
if you
not
got on it today.
Yeah,
can...
Maybe not. Tell the people what it's like to get a
mention
suit.
Mention your name at checkout.
It's a fantastic experience. The suit is hand tailored to your measurements. You can either go to a tailor and get accurate measurements, or do what I did and get a piece of rope and a yardstick.
Yeah.
But you know what? It turned out great, and it fits me like a glove, and it looks great. I love these. So I've got two of them, and I'll probably get a third one this year as well.
And Nigel is no easy fit, given he's massive through the chest, and his waist is like a teacup.
Indochino is making it easy to get a suit made to your exact measurements at a great price. You can choose from hundreds of top-quality fabrics, customize all the details, including your lapel, your jacket lining. You can monogram it. You can do whatever you want. Indochino has been featured in major publications, including GQ, Forbes, and Fast Company. It's now the largest made-to-measure menswear company, and here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your fabric, you choose your customizations, you submit your measurements, you place your order, you wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. So maybe you can get it by Christmas. Maybe you can. Right now, my listeners can get any Indochino made-to-measure suit from just $329 during Indochino's massive Black Friday sale when entering Tony K at checkout at Indochino.com or any Indochino showroom. Indochino is spelled I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. That's up to 60% off the regular price for made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony K for any made-to-measure suit from just $329 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Ben Dominic. Attached is a track from a new album by Vast Asteroid, a band with vocals and guitars by my friend James Poulos, or Poulos, who has the unique distinction of writing a best-selling book about Alexis de Tocqueville and headlining an indie space rock band. And Ben writes, I have no idea what space rock is, but it sounds pretty good to me. I'm now able, as I was not able to do on Wednesday, because Michael had left for vacation. He just left us here. Well, to do
I
a mean, show.
I wouldn't call it vacation.
Yeah, what would you call it?
It was work. You know, just a different set of parents.
Yeah. In-law services.
I was cooking. I was working, changing diapers,
so
playing a little golf.
So, yeah. So if people if people want to send in their music,
holes.
How do they do it?
You can send your music to jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And what are we selling today?
We are working with Johnny O. We're going to have another holiday promo. So right now, you can still check out all of their stuff and use the promo code TonyK. You might even be able to double down and get a good deal with some Cyber Monday stuff. And I'm going to be on the phone with him today to try and set something up for the next couple weeks.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We will start off with congratulations to the Binghamton Colonials.
We beat a D3 team.
Hartwick Hawks.
Good for you.
Yeah. But you beat them well, 97-65.
They're a D3 team.
How's it taste, Hartwick?
They're a D3 team. They're a soccer.
Not Hartwick.
They're a soccer school, Hartwick.
Stick
they're a soccer
very
school.
Stick slip, to
soccer.
Gary.
It's right near, I think it's in Oneonta, New York.
Yes, exactly where it is.
What is our record, though?
3-4, 2-0 at home.
Okay, yeah, so home court. The bi-league court. You don't go in there and get an easy win.
Dr. Bi-league. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Tony, the big news, it is not in the sports world. It is back in my home country where Prince Harry is engaged to an actress. Yeah, Harry, from your country, Meghan Markle. You might know her from the show Suits.
I don't.
Or you might not know her from
that
show.
I don't know her at all.
Well.
Here's what I know, because I was up early this morning. I went to sleep early and got up ridiculously early.
Like ballpark, what, like
3:45?
3:30?
4:15.
Ooh, that's a bit early, yeah.
It's dark.
Before,
literally,
around 5:30, NBC Matt Lauer cuts in to Unyang and, what's his name? Aaron Sorkin? Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Gilchrist.
So he cuts in and to announce that Prince Harry is getting married. And I thought, he's not even he's not the eldest. He's not in line.
No, he's fifth in line.
He's going to be sixth in line. Right, the Nazi prince.
He's right below Nigel.
He's going to be they're having another baby, and that baby is going to be ahead of him.
Yeah,
right. All right. So, and I'm sure he's a fine guy.
Really
and
sticking it to his brother.
He's
with all
fine.
Those kids.
But is there anyone? He's marrying a woman named Meghan Markle, and the last time this happened,
yes,
the last time an American divorcee married royalty. It led to that royalty getting a job at a Pizza Hut because he had to abdicate.
Yes.
King Edward, who does not look good in these movies, by the way. All the historical movies
looks
make him out to be bad.
Played very well by Guy Pearce in The King's Speech.
Yeah, yes. And not a guy that...
No, not a guy you want to... Yeah.
So in any case...
And good in The Queen as well.
You have to abdicate, which led, obviously, ultimately to Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
Because her dad was the king. He was King George, right?
Yes, King George II.
Okay, so let me go over this. This time it is apparently no big deal at all, but I was trying to think, is there anyone in America right now who you would interrupt the news for to do a special report on this person getting married? I don't think there is.
No.
Is there a rock
star? We don't
star?
Have royalty
is there,
other than
is
Trump.
There, you know, an actor? Is there somebody rich? I just, it's not in our culture.
No.
You know, I tried to think, what if one of Michael Jackson's children?
No, they wouldn't break
into news with this.
No.
Who's the biggest thing we got? Who's the biggest thing now? Is Justin Timberlake?
Taylor Swift?
Is she? Do you think they're breaking up? It would be
somebody like Kardashian.
It needs to be someone
like
quieter in the social scene. It needs to be someone like Malia Obama if she were a little bit older.
You would not break into news like that.
Probably not.
You would not.
You'd be more
amazing.
Likely to break into news of divorce.
You know, you don't remember her from Suits, but you may remember Meghan Markle. 2007, she played herself. For 4 episodes of that hit Deal or No Deal, where she was holder of case number 24.
I have no idea what that is.
I love Deal or No Deal.
Was the Howie Mandel?
No, I have no idea what it is.
They had like all women holding cases.
I like the in the copy it says the highly regarded actress.
I mean, I'm sure
she's a fine actress, but you know she's not Meryl Streep.
I mean, you know, good.
Raise your hand honestly if you had heard of her before this news. I had not.
I heard of her because it was through Harry.
Right.
Don't know who she is.
Nigel's jealous.
But good, you know, good
for
her.
He had his eye on Harry.
Good for them both.
Aaron and I are good friends.
And by the way,
hope it's good for the world.
You know what? The older brother and his wife, they handle themselves great.
Would appear.
Are there any other monarchies in the other, any kings other than LeBron James? Are there any kings in the world that anybody cares about? Are there any? Are there any kings?
Well, yeah, there's like King Abdullah II of
Isn't
Jordan.
Isn't there a King of Sweden?
Larry the King.
Yeah, that's true.
King.
Yep.
Larry. All right. What else?
Mr. Tony, very interesting situation going on in college football.
Shrugs.
I know. Yeah, I don't know why your country's so fascinated with our royal family, but you can't get enough of it.
I don't get it.
In college football, I know you talked about, a lot about the scores with Wilbon in the previous segment.
Yeah.
But some hirings going on, or attempted hirings.
This story is the biggest story. I don't know. On the PTI show today, I don't know when we will get to it. I believe we should lead with this story on Greg Schiano.
Yeah, Tennessee had a memorandum of understanding with Ohio State defensive coordinator Greg Schiano to be the Volunteers' next head coach.
If you're not familiar with Greg Schiano, he did very well at Rutgers, a school that stunk before and stinks after.
For like 10 years.
He did pretty well.
7 years.
He turned down the Miami job once, University of Miami, to stay at Rutgers. He ultimately became, and he failed at this, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it was
in the
good.
NFL. He failed at that. Then I think he went to maybe Alabama for Saban for a year. Now he's with Urban Meyer. He's doing the defense at Ohio State. And Tennessee, and by the way, SEC schools, they fire. If you're not named Nick Saban, you're fired.
Texas A&M, you're fired.
Texas
A&M fired someone.
With a winning record in the SEC.
And now they're trying to get Jimbo Fisher from Florida State.
You know, so everybody gets fired. Within the last 2 years, Mark Richt got fired. Les Miles got fired. Butch Jones, Jim McElwain, Brett Bielema, Kevin Sumlin. Hugh Freeze would have got fired, except he quit because they had all the terrible stuff on him. Yep. You can't stay in that league if you have any expectations at all. And Dan Mullen just left, and he left to go to Florida.
Florida, that's right.
But Greg Schiano is going to be hired by the University of Tennessee, which is a big-time football program. They've won the national championship. They're in the eastern half of the SEC, which is easier because Saban doesn't coach in that half. And then there is an explosion of social media linking Greg Schiano to Jerry Sandusky at Penn State.
Yes.
And that link is fair in the sense that they were both on the staff.
And I believe he said he was, I believe he said in court documents, he was unaware of Sandusky's activities.
He was adamant about that.
Are you now not able to get a job because you were on the same staff?
What came out was, the bloke that gave all the testimony.
McQuarrie
said, you know, these documents were released, I think, about a year ago. He said, well, I was talking to another defensive coordinator. I believe the bloke's name was Bradley. And he said, at one point, this guy, a coach named Greg, had come into his office and said, I can't believe what I just saw Sandusky doing. It was never properly identified as Schiano, but everyone assumed it was Schiano.
Third-person hearsay.
Right, yeah, hearsay.
Schiano, as a 24, 25-year-old assistant, may have seen it and looked the other way. But that's
because of that.
Has Schiano gone on the record as to what he saw and what he didn't see?
He said, I never saw anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's very adamant about that.
I mean, he's out.
And the other guy...
Social media did this.
He's out.
Yes.
But don't make any mistake. This isn't because of some moral high ground. This is because Tennessee fans didn't want him to be the head coach.
But there was
and this was this
they painted
was
on that
they
big rock out there.
Upon.
Yeah,
I mean, right. I saw that they said that he looked the other way on child
yeah,
molestation.
Yeah, covered up child molestation.
But,
it, stuff
but if this
like
guy
that.
Had had, if this guy had won a national title at Rutgers, it wouldn't be an issue. At least
if he'd won
mine.
A national title at Rutgers, he wouldn't be looking at the job at Tennessee. He would have a
right.
better job.
Now, right. I should say, I also
but where,
feel...
But where are we in the culture
it's
where it is automatically assumed that this guy's lying, that he had knowledge and approval of mm-hmm. this, and so he'll never get a how many other
yeah,
people were on that staff
to
with
me,
Joe
that's
Paterno?
Cynical. I didn't draw that conclusion. I just thought that the fans didn't want him. And they just figured, well, this is a good way to get him run. Remember when Jim Fossil was floated was going to be the head coach of the Washington Redskins?
Yeah.
And the fan base went crazy because he had just been with the Giants and he got dumped. And I think as a result, thank goodness, instead we got Jim Zorn.
That,
if you remember that.
Well, yeah,
but
that
I, you know,
the day.
The team is.
That might have been. That might have been
like
what the
a
fans
private,
wanted.
It's not like these NFL teams that are owned. I mean, it's sort of a public trust. I mean, who's.
But I mean,
team
it,
is it?
It might
really?
Have been that might have been the root cause. They didn't like this guy as a coach, but politicians got involved with him. This
yes.
became like
oh,
a
yeah.
mob mentality.
Yeah,
and
it definitely
they,
did.
And they were
no,
saying,
this was
and everybody was saying he supported child
yeah.
you know, molestation.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
what everybody was saying. So I mean, it's just the mob mentality of it. I mean, if this is the way things are going, I don't know,
dude. It's the way things are.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's,
where
it's
you been?
Already there.
Don't know.
Come
God,
on, man.
Come on, man.
So everybody on that staff.
Well, I think it was because he was a defensive coach under Sandusky, specifically because he was named with this. Now, the guy who allegedly said to McQuarrie, yeah, oh, that Greg did this, he also denied that he ever said that as
yep.
well. So, I mean, you've got all these denials on the record, and yet still Schiano, you know,
that's
was cast
wow.
as
my favorite person who came out against him is Glenn Jacobs, also known as Kane, the wrestler. He condemned him.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, you're a professional wrestler. He's from Tennessee.
What else do we have?
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Albert Hainsworth and Andy Poley got a little online beef about this.
Hainsworth said, I will not give any money to the Tennessees or
time.
Any of my time.
I'm done giving my time
yeah,
money.
If they hire this guy.
And Andy Poley shot back via Twitter, you know, well, if you have any money, I'm sure whoever wants it will take it. And then Hainsworth shot back something to the effect of, say that to my face, you pencil neck geek.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
my.
Hot.
Oh,
wow.
My.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Who would win that fight? That'd be an interesting one.
For those of you that don't remember Albert Hainsworth, he was the one who laid on his stomach while Michael Vick ran around on the field on Monday night.
Yeah, he was a good signing, wasn't he?
Your
President Trump celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday by playing a lot of golf, including with Jack Nicklaus.
I thought he was very critical of the previous resident of the White House for playing a lot of golf.
He is now
that doesn't ring a bell.
He's golfed 81 days of his presidency. I believe that's three times the rate of your President Obama.
Is that right?
Point.
He's working on the course. I know that move.
81 rounds in
310 or something days.
Nice.
The
yes.
best part about it is, with very few exceptions, and this weekend was an exception, where he tweeted out, I will be playing golf, parenthetically, quickly, with Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson.
Wow.
Quick rounds.
Normally,
quick 18-hole round.
Steve Sands had some thoughts on that he sent to me on text that I won't share.
Okay.
he refuses almost always, as does his staff, to acknowledge that he's playing golf. So yesterday...
It's fun to play
he
golf.
Went to,
go play.
He was up yeah. early, like 5:30. He went to the Trump course in West Palm Beach, I
Trump
think.
Trump Jupiter.
Did he play at Jupiter? Okay, so Jupiter.
God, I went all the way to Jupiter.
And he, and they say he's in meetings, but he's gone for 5.5 hours.
He's in meetings,
and then he's
meeting,
back.
He's on the golf
and then
course.
He leaves. And there's always like Instagram video of
I don't
people
like
playing
your tone,
on the course
fake news.
With him.
What are you saying?
It's just say you're playing golf.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious what you're doing for 5.5 hours.
It's okay.
There may be like touring pros to who haven't played 80 rounds. This year, it's calendar.
Tiger's going to play so well this week, and Trump's going to take credit for it. It's
yep.
going to be
no doubt.
Fantastic.
I gave him a few tips on the course.
Yeah. I fixed that driver of his.
Yeah. One final story, Mr. Tony. A woman was driving to work in Virginia on Thanksgiving, going to Richmond from Gloucester, Virginia. I'm not sure exactly where Gloucester, Virginia is, but it's 60 miles. And somewhere along the way, she struck something. She's like, that's a bit unfortunate. When she finally got to Richmond, she got out of her car to look and see what had happened. She had struck a bobcat. Mm. You know, the little tiny, cute little cat. Well, it's not cute when it wants to rip
your
lungs
out,
Jim.
Yeah.
And
Interestingly enough, the bobcat was still alive, was stuck in her grill and was still alive. Animal control.
Got up in her grill, as we say.
Yeah, as it were.
Yeah. The staff members for the Richmond Animal Care and Control.
Took him out.
Sedated the cat and then freed him, and he just has a minor back injury.
Fantastic.
I mean, he's not even questionable. Yeah. He's probable.
Yeah, no, you just a little bit of that Salon Paws thing on the back.
Oh, yeah, that stuff works wonders.
It's good to go.
The cat, whose nickname is Rasputin, apparently will be fine. So there you
That's
go.
His nickname. Yeah, what's his given name?
What's his Christian name?
His given nickname is Phil Leotardo. So.
Fantastic. Okay, so we'll get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio, yes?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Gary just showed me a picture of the bobcat stuck in the grill.
He really is wedged in there.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Everybody here has the Harry's razors. Everybody here likes the Harry's razors. We plug the Harry's razors all the time. You know this. You already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's is a company that guys love. Over 3 million guys have switched. It's a practical gift that some guy will get a lot of use of. I'm trying to use the word guy as much as I can. You can personalize it to make your guy feel special. Choose a color that's right for the guy. I'm stopping this. Now, with limited edition holiday colors, custom gift sets that fit his specific needs, even a box for guys, and it says that already use Harry's.
Come on, man.
And there's a personal engraving option. This holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. The gift sets were built with your guy in mind, so you know he'll love them. Enough with this. The sets come with German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, with foaming gel that smells amazing, with a special limited-edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. And you can personalize it with engraving. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. They start at just $10. They have great stocking stuffers. Get something for yourself as well. As a special offer for fans of this pod, we have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK. This offer is only available for the holidays. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. That is a good line. Get your holiday shopping done early. Take advantage of the free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to HARRYS.com/TonyK right now. That's HARRYS.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is a group called the Beatles. It's Hello, Goodbye. This was released 50 years ago today.
1967, so yeah, 50 years ago.
50 years ago today. This is when, in the area of critical commentary, it seems to me this is when the Beatles were having fun and being ironic and laughing to themselves at all of us, because this is a non-song.
Do you know, Paul wrote this song. And there was a Beatles aide, a guy named Alistair, something or other, and he went to his house and said, so exactly how do you write a song? And Paul sat down at a keyboard and he said, you say something, I'll say the exact opposite thing. So he said, you know, hello, goodbye, yes, no.
This is...
And that's the song.
Oh, that's cute.
So yeah, John didn't like this song.
John despised this song.
Because it isn't any good.
Because this was released as the lead single, and I'm the Walrus was the B-side. And John was like, no, I'm the Walrus should be the single that we release.
I'm the Walrus isn't very good either.
No.
I mean, I hate to say this.
It's this.
These are ironic.
Michelle, Day in the Life, top three.
Yeah, stop. Michelle. Anyway. Okay. Let us go over. Nigel, you went to Boston.
I did.
What was
right.
the highlight of your Thanksgiving?
The highlight of my Thanksgiving was forgetting my cell phone on the way to the airport as I got there and having to travel all the way back to my flat, pick up my phone, and then realize that I had, you know, my flight left at 12:30 and it was 11:38. I'm about half an hour away from National Airport. So it was an interesting drive.
Did
to
you
get
call
there.
Ahead and say VIP coming?
No.
Let's roll it out.
What I found is as you approach the TSA line, if you were panting and out of breath with several bags in your hand, they will get you to the front of the line. So
that's
I was
good.
Like, my flight leaves in, you know, 10 minutes. And they got me right to the front of the line. I was the last person on the plane. It was a lovely trip.
Were you in the village?
I was in a village. Was in a village, yeah. But
TSA pre-check? Nigel class, behind the village.
If you don't have a diplomatic pass, you know, I generally get them, you know, just with all my bags.
I thought it was diplomatic immunity.
That was your highlight?
That was my highlight. But I love being up in New England at this time of the year. It's just beautiful.
What, because you like being very, very cold?
It is cold, but, you know.
And it's
just
dark?
New England.
New, yeah, the old England.
Michael, what was the highlight of your vacation?
The highlight was Baby Boy Bootsy got out on the golf course. So
what did he shoot?
Struggled on the back nine. He was asleep for most of it.
Yeah. Like it wasn't you're not going to shoot well when you fall asleep.
No, we Liz brought out the baby carrier, and he walked nine holes with us over at Chichesse Creek as I played with my in-laws. And that was just a very pleasant day of golf and just gave me a lot of excitement to look forward to.
I saw a couple of pictures of baby boy Bootsy laying down on Charlie the dog. With his head on Charlie the dog.
Oh, yeah. He likes pulling on Charlie's fur.
Okay, so...
How's Charlie feel about it?
She's okay.
Charlie's
she's an old dog.
And Charlie's a docile old dog and a good dog. Chessie, not an old dog, not a docile
not
dog.
Not ready yet for baby boy.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. He needs Chessie needs another few years.
I may not have another few years.
It's true.
I may not. I'm
we
old.
Were talking about that before you
I
got
may
here.
Not. Let's
Bootsy also flipped over on our first day down. Though the first two times he did it, neither Liz nor I saw it. But
right.
then I
how do you
I,
know what happened? Then?
Well, because he ended up on his tummy.
Well, maybe Charlie nudged him.
No, this was we were by ourselves. But I saw. I'm the only person to have seen him roll over.
So okay,
he's still not going the full 360 yet, though, right?
You know, he's still when he gets onto the stomach, he still looks like he's going to be there for a while. So
right.
not yeah, he's not flipping back over yet.
Chris, what was the highlight?
I think the highlight, as I told you before the show, was yesterday I decided to put up my Christmas tree lights.
Yeah.
You know, I like to get in the spirit. I love Christmas.
This was almost my highlight.
And yes, it would have been Gary's highlight if it ended differently. And I...
Wait.
Yeah.
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover.
Yes.
Get away from the window.
That would have helped me if I had that damn duck.
Yes. Beattle, get
so
away from
I
the
thought,
window.
You know, this is a Beattle. This is a tilted this is a tilted area. It makes sense to put my 12-foot ladder up right here with no with my 8-year-old bracing it.
That's great.
How many drinks did you have before you got up on the ladder?
I mean, it was 4 in the afternoon, obviously several. And I get up there and I'm on the second to top step, which I believe is the step that says do not step on it. And I'm reaching to try to wedge a light on because it's super important that this happens. Legend of my gutter. And the ladder gives out. And I grab the pole of my porch and I'm swinging on it alone.
This is like out of a Will Ferrell movie. Yes.
But I
no, it sounds so more like great. Chevy Chase. Yeah,
I did Griswold. Not fall Eat It Gary. Okay. I mean, I'm a pretty high-end athlete, so I was able to recover.
Elite.
But elite. Yeah, that's the right word. Okay.
This is just a Sunday workout.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary?
I did like 20 pull-ups.
Probably Thanksgiving Day. We had a good Thanksgiving Day. The highlight for me, I think, was that 90 seconds of the that Redskins game was
terrible.
Just confounding.
God, it was awful.
Terrible.
I mean, I can't ever remember.
Not mention it at all.
I shouldn't say I can't ever remember, but I do not remember recently watching a Redskins game that was so obviously going to be a Redskins victory. Like, that game was completely unlosable because
right.
the Giants
and by the
couldn't
way,
do anything.
They're going to be Dallas next. That's Thursday, too. This Thursday.
Yeah,
Dallas is averaging 7 points without Zeke
they
Elliott.
Can't play.
But the highlight for me, I think, had to be the exchange when Jay Gruden calls a timeout. I was texting back and forth with both Sheehan and Sands at this time. Jay Gruden,
Sands volatile.
Jay Gruden
volatile.
Calls a timeout. They're looking at a 4th-and-2. I forget exactly where they are, something like the 40-something yard line of the Giants. And I thought, frankly, at this point, and it's a 10-10 game, the only play is to just punt it and play defense. They cannot move the ball. So why would you risk giving them such a short field? He calls a timeout. I'm texting Sands, just punt it. Just punt it here and play defense. They can't move the ball. They come back from the timeout to run their go-for-it play, and they get a delay of game promptly.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the game. And it was – it. Again, I'm Andy Poley, 2 mentions for me in 1 show. But Andy Poley tweeted out, if Jay Gruden was a heart surgeon, the patient would have just died on the operating table.
Yeah.
It was just such a terrible, terrible
– called timeout there.
Oh my God! So yeah, I had a nice weekend. But thanks, we had a good Thanksgiving Day. Great meal.
The highlight of my weekend.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Is not even my Black Friday shopping experience.
What?
No, the highlight of my weekend was coming home yesterday. I left the beach at about 7 o'clock.
Ooh, late start.
It is late for me. Yeah. It's light at that point. There's nobody on the road. I'm on Route 309. Now, when you are coming back from the beach and you're on 404, to avoid the construction, you make a right-hand turn. You're going east on 309. Now, the construction is over, so I could have taken 404 all the way to 50, but I've enjoyed this other road, 309. There's nobody on the road. It's a bright, clear day. And it's a 50-mile-an-hour speed
limit. Nice, you're traveling west. Sun's behind you. So beautiful. Sun's not, shouldn't be in your eyes, right?
It's like Jack Kerouac.
Traveling west and not east? I don't know.
I hope you're going west, away
on
from the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, you don't, didn't need
I don't
shades.
Know where I'm going. It doesn't matter.
Anyways,
it doesn't matter
drive.
Where I'm going. It's beautiful. It's a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit.
You've mentioned that twice.
And all of a sudden, and I'm on the road for like a half a mile. That's all. I look in my rearview mirror, there's whirring lights and flashing, the front lights are, I go, oh no. And I go, whoa. I mean, I didn't even look at the speed. So I pull over, and indeed it is for me and a young man who's from the Queen Anne County Sheriff's Department.
That's Delaware? Maryland?
No, this is Maryland. We're in Maryland now. So we are, I roll down my window. I have my registration. I have my license to give to him.
You put the beer away.
I hold it up. Yeah, and I hold it up.
Do you have your VIP card?
No.
Officer,
I hold it up.
You should know I am carrying a concealed weapon. I just want to be up front with you.
Okay. All I say is, I'm really sorry. I guess I was going too fast. And he said, well, you were going 65 in a 50.
Oh,
I said,
come on, man.
I said, yeah. What can I tell you? I'm sorry. I apologize for that. It's a beautiful day. There's nobody else on the road. I'm sorry. And he looks at my license and he says, okay, I'm going to check and to see what your driving record is. Uh-oh. And if it's a good driving record, I'll just give you a warning.
I said,
I think you're going to find it's a pretty good record. And he comes back. Now, it takes about 10 minutes.
Always takes longer than you think.
Yeah.
Right?
He comes back. He hands me both and he says, he printed up a warning. I'm just going to give you a warning. I said,
cool.
That's very kind of you. It's very gracious. I know I was going too fast at this point, so I apologize for that, and have a nice holiday. And somebody said, well, he must have known who you were. He did not have any idea who I was. He said, look, it's not the end of the world here, but just slow down. And for the rest of the trip, I went relatively slow.
Yeah, it'll slow you
relatively
down.
Relatively slow.
It'll slow you
down. So, the highlight was the niceness, the kindness of this particular policeman.
When he says, just slow down, what you say in response is, you don't tell me what to do.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I love a good confrontation with a cop.
Did you?
I heard a good story about this. I heard a story about a guy getting a speeding ticket in a similar way. He's going like 80 and a 60 or something like that. And a cop comes up to him grinning. This is it's either in New York or Connecticut. He's on his way from Washington all the way up to Massachusetts. And a cop in either New York or Connecticut, New York State or Connecticut, is grinning ear to ear as he walks up to this guy's car. The guy's doing 80 and a 60. And he says, I've been waiting for you all day. And the driver says, I tried my best to get here quickly.
Well, that's
and he laughs so much, he just said, okay, get out of here.
That's good.
Get out of here with that.
That's great. Good.
Because a good line will help you.
Yes. At any point did you say, is that your bag of cash?
I did
officer,
not.
Officer, because it's not my
I was
bag
totally
of cash.
I'm
going
to make this
willing
out
to take
to
the ticket.
Cash.
I was speeding.
Even though you've been on the road for about a half a second?
Yeah, on that road.
Yes.
I mean, that's halfway back home.
Right.
So I did go to Black Friday. I got up not as early as I usually do on Thursday night, Friday morning. I was in the stores by about 5:45 or 6
God,
in the morning.
They're already picked over at that time.
Contrary to everything else about you.
I checked.
You.
They opened.
5 a.m.?
They all opened 9 at night the night before and were going straight through to 6.
God.
Okay, that's what was going to happen. There were so many more people this year than last year. So many more.
Thank you, Trump.
Probably 6-1 women to men. Probably 6-1.
Yeah,
I went to all the stores I go to. My heart was not in it. I went to Bass. I bought the same shoes.
Just going
I got
the
them
motions.
For $55.
Good
I was pretty
deal.
Happy. They're my fourth pair of unopened Bass shoes.
I've been waiting to ask.
I'm wearing this now. I'm wearing one of them. Not
did they
the
have
ones.
Any sales on baby shoes? I
didn't look for baby shoes. I went to Bass. And of course, and I do this thing where if there's a doorbuster thing at a store,
right.
Like a T-shirt,
You got it.
And it's marked down to $7.
If it's still available,
and they say
you
it was originally $30, which is a lie.
What a deal.
Right. I say, I've got to have it.
Got to have it.
So I bring back an Eddie Bauer T-shirt, and I bring back a Bass T-shirt, and I open these up in my house, and somebody related to me by marriage says, do you know how many T-shirts you have already? And I said, hey, stay out of this.
Right. This is my thing.
Great deal.
This is my thing.
This T-shirt was a great deal. I bought a belt. I don't need a belt. Right. I went to Cole Haan. I didn't like any of the shoes I bought. I couldn't get out without buying something. I went to Eddie Bauer. I bought a jacket, a sort of a winter jacket that I don't need, that I left out there in case I go back when it's really cold.
Jacket.
Yeah, but that's for here. I'm
covered for out
here.
There. Okay, yeah.
Now, I got it. It was half price.
Right.
So I thought I made a good deal, except I don't. Everything I got, I just don't need. And then I did the one thing I wanted to do, which is I had to go buy gifts for women, okay? For Jackie and Renee in makeup, for Danny in hair, for Tracy, without whom I can't live.
Hear this, girls? If you haven't gotten him anything, to point quid pro quo, you better.
I thought maybe for Darlene, the dog walker that we've got. For Maureen, I had like a list of a lot of people.
People, not things, though. You don't know what to get them.
No, not for not for anybody
Liz.
I'm related to. No,
oh.
No, not for them. And I waited
all
week.
No wonder she doesn't call.
Got you this belt.
Yeah. No,
I got you a T-shirt.
I wasn't going to go to Black Friday for them. And I also bought underpants at Calvin Klein. I have 500 pairs of
me undies.
Is your move to find something appropriate for that sort of person and get 10 of them and go, here you guys go? Or
yes.
Is it? Okay.
And right. Here's where I went to do this.
Shatter gift certificate.
No.
Glove store.
Okay. No. Glove store.
Gloves. Everyone likes
and
Ace Attorney
gloves. By the way, I also went to the Sunglass Hut.
Of course you did.
And I said, how much off on Maui Jims? And they go, nothing. That's a top of the line. You get nothing.
So you walked out.
I said, yeah.
Good luck.
Later.
Right.
I went to the store that I really want. Oh, I went to Brooks. I got nothing at Brooks Brothers. Nothing.
I would think they have good sales.
Did you wear the orange pants in and be like, this is how it's done, kids?
No.
This is what a real man looks like.
This was so disappointing to me. I went to the place as seen on TV.
Yes.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Because I'm going to buy
the
special flashlight.
Right.
You got that,
they didn't have it.
You got that
I was going to buy the Tech Light lantern for everybody.
Ooh.
They had another one that looked awful.
Yeah.
And then you end up with the copper top pot, and you end up with the salad spinner. The salad spinner is made out of the cheapest plastic you can imagine. And you end up with stuff that you realize this is junk. I can't even give it to people I like. Plus, there's no sale there.
Oh, that's even worse.
There's
isn't it?
No Black Friday sale there.
But
it's all
always
the same price.
On sale at the as seen on TV.
And then I wanted to get the MyPillow. The MyPillow was like $60.
Oh yeah, man.
And I said, well, how much for three? And they go $180.
Oh,
I thought you didn't know how to do the math.
No, it's Black Friday. No. So I came back defeated. I was angry. I was defeated.
Sad.
Thank God it was a nice day, and I went out and played golf.
Okay, yeah, I know we've been through this, and I know the segment is running long, but I can't.
Very long.
I can't resist the psychology of you who doesn't like being around a lot of people. You
Love's
don't like going out that much.
It's Black Friday. I felt an obligation.
Is it habitual? It's just because you do it. When did you start doing it?
7 or 8 years ago, and then
so
it just,
it's not lifetime.
No, and I don't want to.
And you
do
don't
it
go with anyone. You,
oh,
it's
God,
solo.
No. No one would go. No one would go with me.
The early years, I went with you when I was still in college.
It's awful, right?
How long do you
Although
go
I would
for?
Buy you gifts? An hour and a half, 2 hours. I go to
so
all 3 hours.
So you're home by 7:15.
Yeah, but 8 o'clock. I only go to the stores that I know. I walk by the other stores. If I walk in, I don't want. Not only don't I want the stuff in the stores I've never been, I don't even want it from the stores I've been to. I did buy one pair of shorts from a store that I'd never heard of before, Maida Fella or something like that. It's sort of a Tommy Bahama, you know, but, and I got a
is
really
the
good
one,
deal, but who cares?
Is it the one day of the year that you go there?
No,
you...
I mean, I go other times, but I'm drawn like a moth to a flame because I know it's going to be 50% off. It's 50% off.
How much recognition
everything.
Are you getting at
Zero.
6:20 a.m. at the Sunglass Hut?
Zero. Zero.
What?
Zero. No yeah. recognition.
I'm fans not... have
do you hand them the business card when you walk in?
No,
that's what I do.
No, but sometimes they say when you go to buy
Mr.
something,
Saliza.
and they go your name, please, and I just give them my card because I don't want to say it out loud. I don't want to go through
you
that.
Say Anthony.
I don't want to do that.
So Nigel.
Just,
yeah.
It was distressing, and
that's
now
it's entertaining.
I told,
so thank you for sharing.
I told Tracy I didn't get anything from. You know, I'm just going to buy bottles of wine.
Yeah. Will you go
I'll
next
buy them all
year?
Bottles of wine. No, I'm done.
Wow,
I'm done.
That's it.
What
I will
your
go.
Shoe
of course,
closet
I will
to?
Go. Yeah, I don't know. I'm done. When we come back, I'm depressed. When we come back, we'll do we'll do jingles and stuff and email.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Loud as a leaf blower, swirling leaves around, chatters renovations make quite the fearsome sound. Women love the bathrooms, men will not so much, but it's done now, so we wonder who's. Stop the hammering! Stop the hammering!
Brad Weiss, fantastic.
That made me laugh.
Didn't see that coming.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show and thank today's sponsors, Harry's Razors, Indochino, Omaha Steaks. Remember to listen, subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review.
Oh, can I make a slight correction?
Yes.
The name of the band for Wilbon's section was the Dirty Rooks, not the Dirty Rocks.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Dirty Rooks, I apologize.
That's all right.
I can't
chess
read.
Piece.
Emery Markle's shows a $34.56 cent thing.
3456.
Very
about
good.
That?
Stephen Lewis in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Dear Uncle Tony, what you think I should give my garbage man for Christmas? A roll of quarters? I always do that. How about my leaf blower? Maybe a roll of dimes? Since I don't tip my dentist or doctor after appointment, should I give them Christmas gifts? What are your thoughts? I will hang up and listen to your response. Does anybody tip their doctors and dentists?
No.
No. Every time I go to them.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
What is appropriate for trash collector and recycling?
Yes. I always give a roll of quarters.
When you just go out there and wait when they come?
Yes, and I say thank you very much and give everybody on the...
I just don't like human interaction.
Roll of quarters.
Homemade butter, I think, is always
good. What I do is take the envelope to the inside of the lid of the thing. They know to look
really?
At it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like
that's
so it's like
but it doesn't work with a roll of quarters.
I go out and meet them and hand them stuff.
No, no, that's
nice. I want them to know that not everybody on the street gives them anything, and I do.
Maybe a spinach casserole?
Roll of quarters. Here, in case you got to park the car
from
later.
Dan and Matt Sickowitz.
He's got to park the truck.
My brother and I are longtime littles from the WTEM days. We finally synced our schedules to meet for breakfast, meet Tony at Chatter. We had to sit way in the back, but there was no audio feed all the way back there. Also, because it was crowded, it took over an hour to get breakfast, and I had to eat quickly and run. The only reason we'll try it again is for Tony, but I was disappointed. Well, I'm sorry.
I mean, get here earlier.
Yeah. Dan and Matt Sickowitz, the next time you come in here,
know.
You can sit in the atrium.
Yeah, we'll get you in the atrium.
You can do that. Alex Lau, on last week's show,
lucky,
Jeff
though.
Ma called the Browns, quote, a team with an above-average defense and a terrible offense. I call them, quote, a horrendous team that can't beat any spread, but that's just me. Jeff Ma took the gas. Went 0-4.
0-4.
0-4.
8-12.
Tony Barrett in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Isn't Norristown, Pennsylvania the hometown of Tom Lasorda?
Oh, I'll
isn't
check that, on
that. Isn't it from Norristown?
Check on that.
Or is it? I think it's him. At the Philadelphia Flyers game, saw this number on the scoreboard and thought of you. What is? I can't even read the
it's
number.
It's 4-4 with 4 minutes, 44 seconds remaining.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. 4:44 left and 4-4. Wow, that's something.
Norristown, PA. Well
see,
done.
I think I got that. Tim Wildsmith, Nashville, Tennessee. At one point during our drive to visit the in-laws for Thanksgiving, my wife asked me what I wanted to listen to in the car, and I replied, how about a podcast with Mr. Tony? She rolled her eyes and responded without a beat. The woman to whom you are related by marriage declines. I've never been prouder to be married to this woman. Hope you had a nice holiday. From Mike Todd in Columbus, Ohio. How pathetic am I to be watching the end of the Browns-Bengals game to see if Jeff Ma covers? No, Joe Mixon ran.
Yeah.
Jeff Ma came close to he was covering deep into the fourth quarter. And if he bets them again, you would just say, what's wrong
stop
with Jeff
doing
Ma?
It.
The Giants were covering late as well.
Chad from D.C. has a post-Black Friday haiku. Happy Black Friday Same crappy last year's model laptop awaits you, and an even more cynical one. It's not Black Friday without a Walmart trampling shop until you drop. Did they trample in Walmart? Is that what happened?
They do a lot of trampling in those Walmarts. I didn't see one. Yeah, usually there's
usually one goes viral.
Fist fight or two at a mall.
But the Black Friday,
the most thing, ungrateful of all the Fridays.
The thing about Black Friday that they always say is that you can get electronics cheaply. I'm not going to go buy them. I'm not going to try to hold
them out.
Let
me say, electronics are. I saw like an ad for a 55-inch HD TV for like $250. It's insane.
There was a great segment on CNN over the weekend in which they would interview people in line for hours to get into like Best Buy or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, I really want to get this like 4D TV. No. And they'd go, oh, here it is online for the exact same price. Such a dagger. Really? Whoever thought of that is brilliant.
Clint Hayes in Atlanta writes, here's a list of players with at least 10,000 plate appearances, a .300 batting average, .400 on-base percentage, and .500 slugging percentage. Babe Ruth, Frank Thomas, Mel Ott, Stan Musial, Ty Cobb, Chris Speaker, and Chipper Jones. P.S. Edith Saliza. Are you against Jones getting into the
Larry whole Jones?
Yeah, you know.
Suck it.
That's great. Jerk. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thanks for coming.
Don't do it, Tony.
Everybody, it's a Christmas time of year. Gonna tell you a story, gonna spread a little holiday cheer. Now every single word that I say to you is true. By that Christmas Eve, spend drinking with you know who. We were singing while we trimmed the tree. Just my friends and my family and me. That's when the last of the eggnog went. And all the money on the present spent. Just when we needed more to get us there. That's when we saw something up in the air. Santa's coming, driving 9 reindeer. Straight down the chimney with a keg of beer. There's a crazy little elf in the sleigh who caught my eye. She sashayed over to me and said, don't be shy. She took me by the hand, led me under the mistletoe. She said, wait. Bell rock, come on and dance around.